Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, happy new year, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season. This is episode 17. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
We got a great show for you guys today. Before we get into it, we want to remind you guys that today's show is brought to you by Magnolia Admissions. They offer coaching on college and law school application process from mock interviews to help with personal statements. You guys know by now that Dave runs Magnolia Admissions. He's awesome.
He graduated. Love Dave.
Graduated from an Ivy League school. He's conducted admission interviews for over 15 years and has reviewed thousands of applications. As an admissions community member, he'll hook you guys up. He'll make you shine for the application process for your children or grandkids or whoever is going through that process. So just visit magnoliaadmissions.com and mention Bit Season for a listener discount. Love Magnolia Admissions.
Yes, and this is the first episode of 2022. Like you said, Happy New Year. Last week, we were on a little break since Drab had off during the week. And it was a nice little respite for us. But we are ready to crank out some more content for all the biddies.
I woke up last Thursday morning and I just didn't have it in me. I was doing a podcast with Chad later that night that was going to take up my evening.
So let's just get this straight. You chose Chad over Bit Season.
Well, 1,000% I did. And I had to save my energy.
that irritates me a little bit. That you, it's like I'm a scorned lover over here, and that you chose the other man over me.
It wasn't just that. Dude, last week the entire show was remote. EB was missing half the week because he was out sick. AWOD's out sick, couldn't leave his bedroom.
I know, and that's more reason to crank out content for biddies.
No. It was more reason for me to stay away from this place. Who knows what you're carrying around most of the time, so... I didn't want to put myself in that position. Plus, I hadn't listened that much. It was Christmas. It was the holiday season.
Everyone wants to know how your Christmas went. What you got? What you got your twins for Christmas?
I told you I gave them old birthday presents.
Hey, how was Chad's podcast? Did you do any promotion for Bit Season?
I mentioned Bit Season over there many times, and in fact, if you are listening to Bit Season, maybe for the first time or one of the first times since you heard me over there, welcome. Valdez and I, we are the producers of The Junkies, and we have a great time. And I'm speaking of Chad Dukes, by the way, if you couldn't figure that out. I went on his show. I mentioned Bit Season. I talked about how there was a listener that told me to my face how he didn't like Bit Season.
Yeah, that was very awkward. We were at Bourbon Boulevard for JP's book signing.
Yeah.
And he's a very nice guy. I forget his name.
Phil Speech.
Yes, Phil. Phil's very nice. He was hanging out with JC United and some other P1s. And we're talking to him, and it feels like a WJFK guy, old school guy talk kind of guy. And he told, and so we go, "Well, are you listening to Bit Season?" Because obviously he's there for the junks. He likes Chad's show.
No, that must have been later because I went up to him because I know both of them very well from Big on Duke's days. And I walked up there, and JC, who's a good friend of mine, says, "Hey, Phil doesn't like Bit Season." Well, as my greeting to walking them, that was the first thing he said to me. And I said, "Is that true, Phil?" And he goes, "Yeah, that's absolutely true. I don't like it. It's not for me."
Yes. And then, you guys came over, and then that's when Phil broke it down, and you broke it down to me that Phil does not like Bit Season. Right. Listen to the junks, listens to Chad's show, does not like Bit
Season. It's not for everybody, and that's fine, but it is for...
I had a theory.
What?
That Chad is cranking out 5-hour podcasts, so he's taking up all of his listeners' time so that they can't enjoy Bit Season.
Well, I think Chad's been grinding for a long time. Chad barely knows bit season exists.
I know. I like throwing S against the wall.
Well, I don't think Drab and Valdez are on Chad's mind that often.
I know. It's stupid. It's to get a laugh out of
you.
Phil,
have a lot of dumb theories recently. You tell me this theory today that you think the team should just kneel on the ball for 3 hours on Sunday night or the Chargers Raiders games. You spend all your time thinking about these theories.
I like controversial out of the box stuff.
You wanted the Junks to do a segment on list who you want to fart in a jar and take a big whip. And everyone was thought it was kind of weird, but maybe we could go along with it. But then you had a list that you had pre-prepared and that you wanted to share with everyone. And on that list was Guy Fieri, Lizzo, and somebody else.
No. Okay. Can I explain?
Everybody knows. They listen to the Junkies. They know what we're talking about.
Look, I'm trying to create some content. I can't help it if you guys are too uptight to think about a celebrity fart that you would want to collect.
No. Nobody's uptight.
I like the idea. I think it's a funny visual thinking about some guy or some girl who has a wine cellar with a bunch of mason jars that have celebrity farts in them. That kind of makes me laugh. That doesn't make you laugh?
Not really. First of all, I wasn't that intrigued by that story. You've been hammering it for weeks. Now, I'm not intrigued by it because I don't like the girl. I'm a 90-day fiancé consumer.
I know, but it's not about the girl.
I'm going to get there. Okay. I never liked the story in the first place because I know this girl is just a lying fraud, and I don't think she's farting in these jars from the first place. So I didn't actually want to dignify her New York Post stories by us talking more about it. So I didn't really want to participate and hype her up and this chick is making $50,000 a week. I know she's lying. She's not making $50,000 a week and she's not farting into jars because she's just a big phony. That being said, your obsession with farts and poop has gotten out of control.
I need to go on duty rehab.
I like it like on the show when you play the fart sound effects. That makes me laugh. Outside of that, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about duty. I'm envisioning you over the holidays. By the way, why is there a penis pump in here? Well, that's been in here this entire time.
Yeah, that was the Secret Santa gift.
Oh my God. Your infatuation with duty and penises has gotten out of control. And more so than ever.
You know, it's like super bad. When what's his name? Jonah Hill's character when he was a kid, all he did was draw dicks. That's me.
I think that is you.
I'm 34.
I'm actually concerned about you that you actually came in here and had celebrities' farts that you wanted to smell, and I just envision you, and I told the guys this, you not falling asleep at night, tossing and turning because you said you can't turn your brain off because it's so creative, and you're thinking about the show that it keeps you up at night, and what's actually keeping you up, we found out, is Lizzo farting into a jar.
You don't find that funny? Lizzo, kind of a bigger gal. You're trying to figure out.
I think it's disgusting. I thought the Guy Fieri one was somewhat funny. I just thought it was weird that you had a list ready to roll out for everybody.
Well, it's because
here's my list. Here's who's the third person that I'm forgetting?
It was Lizzo, Guy Fieri. I said a Betty White one would be very rare,
very profitable.
I know. Okay. All right. I said it would be interesting to have an Adele. Adele pre weight loss and Adele post weight loss, so you could compare the two.
But why does it have to be? You chose all hefty people.
Because I just think hefty people have stinkier farts, based off of diet.
I don't know. I mean,
hey, don't act like you're above this. When you started giggling, going, I think a Paulina Gretzky one would be fun.
Yeah, I think if I'm gonna first of all, that was after the segment. That was when we were walking around.
Then why did you leave me out on that limb alone?
Because you were just picking, no offense, fat slobs to dunk on.
Farts are a lot different than fit people farts.
I said if I had to smell someone's farts, I'd choose Paulina Gretzky's, is what I said.
All right, but why did you leave me alone? Why didn't you jump in? We're supposed to be a team.
We are.
The Matt and Matt show, not the Matt show.
We aren't a team on everything. Sometimes we butt heads. The producer rivalry.
But you kind of just left me out there to be my own strange person. By the way, I did have some people that chuckled, that were laughing.
Cakes did. He laughs at everything. So I'm envisioning you on Christmas for some reason. While I'm gone and that story's dangling out there, of you spending your Christmas thinking of junkies topics and farts.
To be honest,
that actually makes me laugh more so than picturing Guy Fieri standing over a mason jar, letting them rip.
Letting some refried bean farts come out. Hey, this story came out on December 14th.
Okay. I know it's been around forever.
All right. And I sent it to Drab in a text message, and I thought it would be funny content for the show. And if it's funny content for the show, I want to be prepared. I want to have stuff ready. Unlike the junks, I just don't fly by the seat of my pants all the time. So I had some shtick ready. I put some thought into something. And instead of winging it, I was ready to go with it. And then all of a sudden, the story came up again. So I went into my well of shtick that I've calculated, and I pulled it out.
You were preparing, and this has been the phrase of the week, your comedy pyramid before the segment even started. And actually, I don't think I like that. I like just letting it rip. Like,
I see what you did.
See, that was actually an accident. That was natural.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I like just being in the moment sometimes. And especially with non-sports stuff. Sports stuff, you got to think out a little bit and have a nuanced take on everything.
Right.
I don't know. So
I was trying to get the conversation started, but nobody wanted to participate. This wasn't the Matt hour where I'm on stage with my microphone doing my Netflix special.
It felt like it for a
moment. Well, I'm trying to get you guys to chime in, and you guys are too scared.
No,
you guys are too prude to talk about a ripping one and who's you want to sniff. And by the way, I'm lucky I didn't bring in my mason jar today.
What, you actually farted in a mason jar yesterday?
No, I said I wanted the guys to do it. I actually said I wanted...
Let's do it on Bit Season to AWOT, all right? He's not going to listen to this, all right? I want you to fart in a mason jar, okay? Sealed up real tight.
Okay.
Or it doesn't have to be a jar. Don't you remember Jack, the movie with Robin Williams, and they all went to the treehouse and they farted into a Folgers cup, a can, and then
yes, unveiled it,
and it was knocking all of them over.
Well, yeah, well, you need something sealed.
That's what I always think about whenever I think about this story.
All right. I just thought it would be, funny, and my suggestion was to have all of us fart into a mason jar, all right, and then we have one person who tries to pick out whose mason jar belongs
then we'll
to
we'll do it on our show. I'll actually entertain you. I'm intrigued by it, okay?
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's funny? Do you think it's not funny?
Here's what I want. I want you...
Look, I don't want to do the same S every single show. No. I'm trying to be creative. That's my resolution.
They also have FCC regulations. I don't know if we could be doing all that
stuff. That's my resolution for 2022.
What?
Be more creative.
All right, I'm not going to hate on you being more creative. So why don't you bring in a jar, a couple jars?
I can do that.
Whenever anyone on the show has a nice, juicy one.
Ready to go. I say, wait.
Yeah, go get the jar. We'll seal it up. We'll put scotch tape on or masking tape on it. We'll label it and say, EB1022.
Yes, that's okay? What I like.
All right, not open for 30 days.
All right, now what's the goal is to identify or just to see if it's still there.
We could do both, right? You could do your whole bit of whose do you think this was? All right.
We'll pull the label off and we'll know it. Yeah. And then,
or you could just see if it evaporates or all that kind of stuff. This is your you run with it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for appeasing me.
I'm just thinking about Guy Fieri and all his sloppy restaurant food.
that's why it's funny. Is you think about him rolling along in his convertible, stopping at a taco stand in Albuquerque, New Mexico, eating a nacho plate, and then 20 minutes later, putting his butt cheeks against a jar and ripping them.
All right, I'd pay for Guy Fieri's toots way more than I would pay for some hot chicks from 90 Day Fiance. You know, I'm not interested in that at all.
There's a lot more complexity still got right. the airy fart. That's okay. 90.
Maybe you're onto something. I don't know. All right. Speaking of how you spent your holidays.
Yeah.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Why do you not?
You get so giddy.
I do.
On New Year's Eve to watch Andy and Anderson, and it ricks the out of you, Valdez, that you spend your New Year's every year, literally every year now for at least 5 years, watching those two annoying
blathermouths.
They got nothing of content to say. This show has more content than their New Year's Eve special.
All right, well,
and you can't miss it. And it actually makes me feel bad for you. I always think feeling bad for you is you were giddy on air talking about, because that's your New Year's Eve year in and year out, and that you don't go out to any parties or you're not hanging out.
What did you do? Did you go out to a party?
I was on my way to Cowboy Todd's, but my wife got sick, so we canceled it that morning.
Okay.
Believe me, my wife is a nut job, and I have to go out every year on New Year's Eve.
All right. Well,
I'm kind of getting dragged out. But I would at least.
All right. What would you choose if your wife didn't force you to go out? To go out or to stay home?
I stayed home the other night. I didn't watch more than 24 seconds before the countdown. I couldn't find the remote. My wife was asleep. She asked me to wake her up at midnight. I walked in there at 11:59 into the bedroom. Took me 46 seconds to find the remote. I turned it on.
And they're in the middle of the countdown.
And there was the 10-second countdown until midnight.
All right. Here's what it is. I love watching Anderson and Andy. I do. But I also like checking in on the other rockin' New Year's Eves. I watched from Nashville, the one on CBS, and I watched the Dick Clark Rockin' New Year's Eve by Ryan Seacrest.
But doesn't it make you think about how you're just sitting at home and out, everyone else is out having a great time getting drunk and smoking weed and having sex and doing whatever people do at parties, just being with the bros and friends and family, and you're just sitting in your house with your lights off watching that show? Like, it's depressing.
It's not depressing. And by the way, it reminds me of childhood. Because when little Valdez grew up, it was a big thing to be able to watch Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with my parents, be able to stay up past midnight. All right. My dad would steam shrimp and we would have pounds and pounds and pounds of shrimp as we watched Dick Clark count down to midnight. It's kind of nostalgic for me. But I love it because I don't like really going out. I'm not a big going out kind of guy on New Year's. It's just when all the crazies are out. All right. That's when everyone is nutso. And I like being in front of my TV with Anderson and Andy recapping the year. And I like watching them getting a little drunk. And you know right. what? All of the P1s get to enjoy the junkies whenever they drink on their drinking show. I don't get to enjoy it. I don't get to laugh at them being silly and then making fools of themselves.
So Anderson and Andy
fill that void for me.
That is depressing. That is the one of the most depressing things you've ever said, that you compared those two guys to the Junkies drinking show. Now, I'll say this. I am in agreement. I'm not a huge fan of going out. That sounds like torture to me, to go into like Clarendon Ballroom or someplace at a big bar on New Year's Eve with a bunch of random strangers. I don't want to do that. We usually go out on New Year's, about 50% of the time we go to New Jersey, we go to our friend's house, and they have about six people over, and it's people that I know, and it's my good friend from when I was young and my college friend. They met and they married, and they're both good friends of mine. They live in New Jersey now. So we go up there, we have a small house party. That's basically what I could throw. We get drunk, we play beer pong, and we spend the night at their house.
That's fun.
Other than that, I hate New Year's. I've always hated New Year's.
By the way, I would be totally into that.
New Year's, the most depressing holiday, because it makes me think of my childhood too, where you had to go to school on January 2nd after a 2-week break. I hate New Year's. Also, I had a traumatic experience on New Year's Eve, my senior year of high school, which I've told you about. I had Big On Dukes listeners know about.
Yes.
All right.
You wanted a second kiss.
The love of my life, Jessica Meek. There was a house party as well. And I was hammered and everybody was drunk And I had a huge crush on her, and everybody knew. And at midnight, someone in the room said, "Jess, you should kiss Matt." And I'm still getting a douche chill thinking about it. And this girl was beautiful, beautiful woman.
And I wouldn't expect anything less.
She was out of my league. I always thought I had a shot, though. And I was so, I mean, I was like borderline, like, this was like, I was crazy for this. Like, I was, for whatever reason. Yeah.
Here's what happened. You got so drunk leading up to it. I was out of nerves. Hammered. It was nervous drinking at your house.
It was also senior in high school, yeah, drinking at someone's house. I was so excited and nervous and drunk that at midnight, I thought this was my chance to shine, to get her.
This was going
to
be your fairy tale ending.
I went in for a makeout in front of, like, everybody was looking at us, right? Uh-huh. I went in for a makeout, and she went in for, like, a quick peck on the lips. It was the first time I ever kissed her. It was so embarrassing. The worst kiss ever. And then I slumped over, and I told her in the hallway that I had been waiting for that moment my whole life. And I need a redo.
Okay. Don't you just cringe every time you say that?
I'm cracking my knuckles. I'm so nervous telling you this. All right. And then her father, Colton, came home at that exact moment.
Right.
Okay. Because they were the cool parents that let kids drink at their house.
In the basement.
Yeah, wherever they were. He came into the room, saw me accosting her in a hallway, asking for a redo, and then said, "Jess,
sexually assaulting their daughter."
And he knew me well.
Yeah.
And he said, "Jess, do you need some help here?" As like he was going to throw me out of the house or something.
I love to see drunk and drab walking home at 1 a.m.
Yeah. So I hate New Year's. I have bad memories of it. But I'm not, it's not so bad that I'll sit in my house, watch. I just want to avoid it for the most part.
Well, then this is why I don't understand why you can't get on board with Anderson and Andy.
Because it's
so funny watching this train wreck as producers, all right? And seeing the crappy audio and the interviews that they're trying to do.
I saw
the bits that they're trying to plan and everything.
I saw 3 seconds of it. I was scrolling through the channels, not looking for New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I saw them interviewing his old parents again, Andy's old parents, and it was the worst audio ever.
How many times can I see Sherry O'Terry on set?
I said to myself, he's interviewing his parents again? Like, this is their yearly bit? This is their big segment?
Well, I mean, Letterman used to have his mom Thanksgiving every single year.
I don't know. And so I was like, get me out of this. And so I turned it off.
I like that you think about me on New Year's.
But no, it's because I know what you're doing. You're so excited for it. I know. So then I went back to watching the college football playoff game.
Oh, by the way.
Which sucked. I'll agree with sucked.
No. By the way, I had two TVs going.
I don't believe that for a second.
I had two
TVs. I know you're lying.
I'm not lying.
You're not.
I could tell you everything about the game because I had it on side by side.
I don't believe it. I think maybe you during commercial breaks when it,
no,
you maybe
no, no, because I'm flipping
it.
Channels between CBS, ABC, and CNN.
All right, what's Georgia's quarterback's name?
Stenson Bennett.
All right, what's their running back's name?
Wasn't it Jordan Howard or something like that?
That's a running back for the Dolphins.
Yes, whatever.
No, Zamir White.
Okay.
And Cook is their other running
back. Oh, Cook. I know that. And then the big lineman, what's his name? He's like Howard something. Jordan Howard.
Jordan Davis. Jordan you always Davis. Know that because I said his name earlier this week.
No,
on the
I'm
junkies.
Telling you the I'm telling you the truth.
Okay. I'll give you a slight pass on that. But I know all your attention. I did see, I told you, I turned it to the New Year's Eve coverage with 10 seconds left.
Yeah, and by the way, you're watching Pete Davidson and Miley Cyrus.
I just knew there was, I saw it, I knew it was on NBC, so I hit 504 on Verizon, 10 seconds left, countdown, I woke my sick wife up, I kissed her, I said, Happy New Year, I saw Miley perform one song, her top fall off, that kept me for a few minutes longer,
That kept you to 12:05.
Yeah, I'll admit that, like literally right after midnight, her top fell off on her next song.
And you're like, ooh.
I was like, what's going to happen here? And of course, like every pervert, I put my face up to the TV to see if I could see a nipple.
Pausing, see how much side boob you...
And then I turned it off and went to bed myself. So it was not an exciting New Year's Eve for me.
And plus, that's like my one of my only nights of the year that I stay up. I mentally prepare to stay up.
That's even more sad.
What, you're up past midnight every night? No, I know.
Every Saturday, every Friday and Saturday I am. I can't tell you.
Hold on, you're telling me every Friday and Saturday you're up past midnight?
Every Friday and Saturday I'm up past midnight.
Hey, what am I going to do when I go out?
When do you think all these like Jake Paul fights are at and all that? They're all at like, and UFC fights are all like, they're all
I know,
1 a.m.
I can't stay up for them. I don't have the energy.
I take naps. I'll take a nap on a Saturday. Long nap on Fridays.
You can nap on a Saturday?
Of course.
What time do you wake up?
Well, my girls wake up at 6:45, 7 o'clock. So I'll get up. We'll get up with them, and then my wife takes over at some point. Or when they nap, I'll take a nap as well.
Fascinating.
I don't got a lot going on either. Yeah. But I'm not.
Yeah, you're telling me how much you feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you.
I'm almost a 7-day napper at this point.
I'm usually an end of the week napper. So like Fridays, Friday's my big nap day.
You know what my new move is? To nap during the first two quarters of 1 p.m. games of the NFL.
Really?
About 12:45, I set
you tune into the witching hour.
Yeah, I do. I get sized for the witching hour. I set my fantasy rosters. I put my bets and all that stuff. Yeah, and about 12:45, I get into bed and I take about a 90-minute nap. So I'll wake up around 2 o'clock or so. And then I'll watch the TV from there on out.
Hey, speaking of sleeping, what am I going to do when I'm out, when I'm West Coast Valdez next week?
Well, you're going to be waking up at about 3:30 a.m.
That's a disaster.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. So what am I going to do when all my...
tired. Hopefully you don't make a bunch of nighttime plans because come around...
What if Wacky Jackie wants to go to dinner at 7 o'clock?
You're gonna fall asleep at the table.
I'm not gonna make it.
Yeah, you'll be distraught, and it will be tough. How many days are you out there for?
I'm out there Monday to Saturday.
By the end of the week, you'll start to pull it around, but for the
just in time for me to come back here and then disaster here.
Yeah, exactly. I would encourage you to take some naps if you can. Like after the round or something like that.
Hey, is it depressing that I'm thinking about going out there with my ice pack for my chest? And
you're not going to need it. You're going to be so tired at nighttime. You won't need the ice pack.
Okay.
Believe me, after playing golf and being 3 hours behind, you'll fall asleep.
All right.
I always fall asleep but early out there, and I'm a night owl, so. Now I am intrigued here that you told me this week that you are treating your golf trip like it's an opportunity of a lifetime for you to take the perfect photograph of yourself.
Right. I just realized I guess last weekend. So I'm going to be out in Monterey playing iconic courses like Olympic Club, Pebble Beach. All right, with all my buddies, and we're flying out there, and I realize that these pictures are going to be on the gram. They're going to be these iconic friendship pictures. All right, the stuff that when I die, these are going to be the slideshow in my funeral.
God, you're such a morbid person.
All right, and I want to make sure I look as handsome as possible during these photos. Now you look at me right now and you're probably
wondering if you're going to get a haircut.
Yes, I'm saving my haircut in case you haven't noticed.
Okay.
I'm saving my haircut for this weekend so it looks as fresh as possible for when I go out there. Same thing with my shaving. I'm timing it up so that my shadow looks good on my face. Now I don't know
if you're going to be wearing a hat, I'm guessing, on the golf course.
Possibly not.
All right.
Also, I got to figure out what to do with my skin tag on my eye.
Yeah, that I had actually noticed that it's growing. I noticed that the other day.
I might have skin cancer.
I told you to get a razor blade like 2 months ago and cut that thing off. And you didn't listen to me. Now it's twice the size.
I think they make home skin tag.
What? Do they?
I think so. I think
you better get on Amazon and get that 2-day delivery.
But so this entire week, I've been cramming workouts in. All right, like a madman trying to do a crash diet before my pictures out at Pebble. So I'm treating this like wedding photos that
you
take.
Here's what you have to do. You need to go on a juice diet and then take all your photographs the first day there. Okay. You don't need more mass. You don't need any of that. You don't need more bulk. You need to cut weight because that's what you're worried about. You're not worried about your guns. Those have already taken care
of. And I've already laid out the outfits in my mind too. Because remember when we talked about vests and how slimming vests are?
I don't like vests.
Pebble's going to be a big vest day because Pebble's probably going to be the most pictures.
What's the weather looking like? Have you searched into
60s and sunny.
So perfect weather.
Perfect weather.
You can't wear like a windbreaker.
Probably not. Well, the vest kind of works with that too.
All right.
All right. And they'll show off the guns. All right. And we'll be sitting there. We'll have our caddy take the picture. And then I'll be sucking in as hard as possible.
Are you going to be wearing like...
dark colors, dark slimming colors, of course.
So no white?
No white.
You'll be wearing like your Travis Mathau or whatever.
Mathau. Like Walter Mathau. It's Travis Matthew.
Okay. You're going to be wearing Travis Matthew from head to toe, like matching everything.
Of course. I got to coordinate. I'll wear like my master sweater.
You got to better coordinate with your friends too. Make sure you guys don't all like, you know, look like... The Bobsley twins or whatever.
Well, then we're both Anderson and Andy there.
Yeah.
With our matching outfits.
Yeah, right.
Yes, we will discuss ahead of time. This is what I don't want happening. I don't want happening is some sad song playing at my funeral with the picture coming across the screen of us on number 7 at Pebble, and then you see my big gut, and then everyone going, oh, no wonder he died. He's a big fatty. Yeah. He probably had a heart attack.
Well, who's going to be taking the photos?
The caddy.
Oh, okay. I think you got to have a system in place. You can't just rely on number 7 at Cypress Creek or whatever. That's our one.
I wish we were playing Cypress Point.
Okay, whatever. That you got to take 400 photographs while you're out there. It's almost as important as the score.
It is. Score. It is as important.
It actually is probably more important.
Of course.
So I would encourage you to take unlimited photos while you're out there.
I will.
Right?
And that's why I'm treating this important.
And you'll get a good one in there at some point.
That's why I'm being a girl about it.
Now, are you guys are you only taking like your cell phone cameras? You're not taking like a real camera out there like EB would, are you?
No. We're not like nerds like Eric where we're, I need the right aperture.
Right. Well, I mean, it is. I kind of agree with you. It is the photo of the decade for you.
It is.
Probably. So it does have to be done right. And you don't want a big beer belly or anything like that.
Right. You don't want to feel like an idiot after you take these pictures. I'm glad you're on my side. No,
I'm kind of coming around on you. On what you're doing. Because if I was in your position or something like that was important to me, I would do the same thing.
Everyone does the same thing with their wedding.
I look forward to the Purple Heart photograph every year when that guy comes around, and
we have our arms around each other,
me,
behind the flag,
eating cakes.
Yeah,
and I stand next to cakes so I can look taller than him, and then I measure my man boobs every year in those photographs to see if they're bigger or smaller every time I look at them.
Hey, and why don't you tell the listeners about how fond you look at Purple Heart. So much that you have this keepsake in your car.
I do, but I actually don't have it anymore. I did for about a year.
That actually makes me sad.
I had a Polaroid, I think it was a Polaroid, a photograph of our round at the Purple Heart Open of Meat Cakes, Valdez and Pete from about 3 years ago. And it was, you're right, it was a flattering photo of me, and I liked it, and they put it in a nice little Purple Heart frame, a little paper frame, that you picked up after your round, and I liked it so much, and I liked that Valdez got a kick out of it, leaving it in my center console.
Do you know what that makes me think about? Huh. That makes me think about you being stuck on I-95, all right? And you are gasping for water. You're dying of thirst. You're so hungry. Your car's out of gas, and you're shivering like Jack Dawson in Titanic.
And I'm going through my car to see what utensils I have for survival.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, you pull that picture out, and you put it close to your chest as you take your last gasp of air and lay in your back seat shivering with your jacket as a blanket over top of you. And then the VDOT comes around and sees you frozen, clutching
that photo in my fingertip.
Yeah, clutching to that photo.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think about.
I like that, Valdez. I like that. That would be a good. If I'm gonna freeze, I would make me feel good thinking about the Purple Heart open in my final moments.
Hey, it's the Purple Heart to match your purple lips from hypothermia.
Now, isn't it obvious? You threw this out on the junkies earlier this week. Isn't it obvious who you'd want to be stuck with in a car on 95 freezing to death?
Yeah, it's besides you.
Well, yeah, if you had to be...
If it's a junkie...
From someone from the show.
Well, I consider you a part of the show.
Yeah. Me as well.
It would be a tie between you... and cakes.
I'm glad you threw me in there.
Because you obviously have much more survival skills than cakes.
That's very kind. I don't know why you would say that about me, but
I think you're very logical.
I do watch Creek Stewart, who's a survivalist on the Weather Channel, and I've picked up a few tips over the years.
Like I think you're along the same lines of cakes where you know a little about a lot.
That's my saying. Don't steal my saying. All right. I stole that from Al Michaels in 2003 at Arizona State University.
All right. So I think knowing a little about a lot is great for conversation. All right. Which obviously there'll be a lot of.
Yeah. You need a strong conversationalist, but not too strong. That's why JP's out.
Yeah. So that's why I think you would be good. And then obviously I think you are much more athletic, much more stronger than cakes. So if there needs to be like a trek to shelter or something like that, like we could do it together and that would be easier.
All right, let's think about this. What are the positive qualities of
each junkie?
Each junkie, yeah. All right, cakes. I like cakes because he's easygoing and he would make the best of a terrible situation.
Right, he's nice. He's not going to, like, he'll keep you level headed. I feel like he's not gonna be too high or too low. Like he's not gonna tell you how much he's gonna die.
I'm telling you, EB would not be my last choice. My last choice would be Jason. I love Jason. It would be so miserable in that situation.
Of course,
that I would actually hope we'd freeze to death in the middle of the night so I could get away from him.
All he would do is tell you how much we're gonna die.
As this blows, and
yes. And then you think about it. Talking to him is good. Is basically like talking to a sports almanac.
Yeah, he's
just gonna flame you about sports the entire time. Can you imagine if you're Tim Kaine, 27 hours of sports radio Lurch?
Right. Yeah, Lurch would be at the very bottom for me because he'd be so angry about it. He'd be cursing. There would be at no point would we have any fun.
You don't know what to say.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of silence. Yeah, yeah.
I would feel like me talking to him is making him angrier.
Right. You're on pins and needles and you're on edge because of him.
Right.
And how he's feeling. And that anxiety with what else is going on at that time is going to be brutal for you. Do you remember during the drinking show? It was in Lanham. I had to take Lurch home to Ashburn.
Yeah.
All right. And he was so drunk. And he was so angry because there was a car that was in one of the hot lanes that didn't have an easy pass. That Lurch got out of the car.
Screaming, right. He'd be screaming at so many people.
He got out of the passenger side. By the way, still dressed in his Santa suit.
Yeah.
All right. So he had his Santa pants, his boots, a Santa hat, going, "What the F are you doing? Go!
Yeah.
Get the F out of the way." That's what he did to this poor old lady who had no idea what a toll road was. All right. Probably.
Are we in agreement that Jason is last?
Yes.
Okay. And Cakes is first.
Correct.
I will do the same. I will put you second. We have great chemistry. We get along with each other. You do know a little about a lot. I'll say that about you as well.
That kind of hurt you to say.
Yeah, I know it did. I actually thought to myself, don't say that, but I said it anyways. You know a little about a lot, and I think it would be the time would pass well with you. I'm putting...
Whoa. You're not going to include survival skills?
No. I don't really know what... I don't know if you know much of anything.
Hey, by the way, I'm the one that has crackers and blankets in the car.
But we're in my car, right? With my Purple Heart photo. Okay. I'm actually going to put...
look at these two dudes frozen to death, cuddling with a picture of them.
Oh, that is actually a plus, but you do have a lot of mass to you. You put off a large amount of heat, I'm sure. So you would be a good snuggle buddy.
Right.
I'm putting EB next after you. Now, it's a gigantic drop-off, okay, after you and Cakes. I'm putting EB next. EB thought he'd be last. Now, EB would be miserable at times.
Yeah, I was going to say, how is EB complaining different than Jason complaining?
Because a couple things.
All right.
EB's a great storyteller. He's going to have moments of electricity and energy where he gets, you know, he wants to pick it up a little bit.
Followed by this downtime of him sulking.
Right. EB will make you laugh. At times he'll be miserable.
It could be.
But I also take pleasure in him being miserable, and so that would make me feel a little bit better.
I just, for some reason, I have the impression that all he's going to do is recite Daily Mail death stories to you as you guys are trapped in the car together.
We would talk about like the old radio days, and he would just, I don't know, he would entertain me at times throughout this process. Now, he would be complaining, but he complains all the time. I'm also used to that.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah. Now, JP would be next, and I'll say this about JP. It would drive me nuts being around him for that long. And being stuck in just such a small area, can't get away from the flaming.
Yes. It's basically your own book on tape.
Now, but I will say that JP has a massive positive over everybody else.
All right.
JP, he doesn't really care. He would go to other people and talk to them about, oh, can we come into your place? Do you have any food for us?
He has no sheepish about going up to a
stranger.
Trucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has no shame in the dude. He'll just bulldoze people and go after what he wants.
Hey, do you listen to the junkies? Oh, cool. Can I get in your truck?
Yeah. You got any hand warmers in there? You got any wool? I don't know, any blankets.
Hey, I will say, if we're
that would be a plus about him. He doesn't know much about survival, but he's a bulldog.
Right.
And I like that about him. He would actually help find us a way out of there.
Yes, but wouldn't you be intrigued that in my car with my golf clubs and golf balls in the back seat, we would just get out and just start pelting them into the woods in Dumfries?
I do like that, but I'm also disappointed you canceled your satellite radio. And I like listening to satellite radio. We can listen to Howard.
But that is true. Know, we have very limited.
I got the fan that I listen to all the time that I don't want to listen to in my dying moments.
Hey, I have Audible, though. We can listen to books on tape.
I'm not a fan of books on tape.
Find a survival book. Surviving the Wild for Dummies.
All right,
listen to that, and we'll be money.
All right, maybe you're onto something there. And then, so my order is Cakes, Valdez, EB, JP, Lurch.
All right, my order is, so I have to put Cakes at number one.
No, you don't have to.
I think Cakes is 1A, and then you're 1B.
Cakes is just absolutely worthless, though.
I know, that's the
thing. What am I doing? I'm bumping Cakes down.
Like, you're picking Cakes for the entertainment value.
No, I'm picking
and the Cakes, attitude.
The positive attitude. That's the only reason
why. Attitude and entertainment. You're not thinking about the worth.
Oh, and then I'd have to listen to him call Amy and be so mushy about how much they love each other. And I can't deal with that. You know what? Cakes is getting pushed down. Valdez number one, EB number two, then Cakes.
Yeah, but you act like Eric's love of his wife and kids, he's not going to be calling them nonstop.
Well, he's more of an alpha male. He's not going to let me see all that. You know?
Like a walk to the woods.
Yeah.
I'm going to go make this call. My feet are freezing, but I'm going to go stand in the snow and make this call. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's just assume like your phones aren't working.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Cakes is useless, though.
He is very useless. But
what's his famous line? The only callus you'll see on my hands are from a golf club.
I don't know.
Something like that.
No, he always goes, look at these hands. Yeah. Look at these pristine hands. You know how they get this smooth? Right. No work whatsoever. Right. No manual labor. Avoiding manual labor all my life. Yeah. That's what he says.
You think he knows how to jack up a car?
No, of course not.
He doesn't. That is so. Cakes is getting pushed down.
I actually think Eric might be ahead of Cakes because Eric watches Naked and Afraid, Man vs. Wild, all that stuff.
Yeah, but he's just a pervert. He just wants to see the women naked.
So you don't think he's gotten any kind of knowledge from watching
You think
it?
He's picked up one thing? You know how you think he knows how to start a fire?
I don't know. He might.
I do have a tip for Fatalities.
I like the thought of, hey, Eric, what did you learn from about water on Naked and Afraid? What you can and can't drink? And he goes, I don't know. I'm just staring at their
Yeah, that's what I know what he's doing. I got a little tip for you. Maybe it's not as interesting as I think it is, but something I always think about. If your car ever gets stuck in the mud or the snow and you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're deserted, right?
Right.
There's a way out of it that I saw on a survivalist show, that Creek Stewart guy, that I think is interesting. You cut your seatbelt, right? A couple did this. They were stranded out in the middle of nowhere in like Alaska, and the wheels were spinning. The guy cut his seatbelt and used that as a strap and went and found a big stick or a log or a 2x4.
Yes.
And then you strap that to your tires.
Yes. And then the tire
and it creates
gets
traction.
Yeah, the tire gets traction. That's how
and
you
then
get
you,
out.
You can get out.
Yes.
I thought that was genius. And that's the only survival thing that I know what
to do. I think
that's
pretty well known.
Is it? I don't know.
I mean,
you knew about it.
Yeah, I knew about it. Yeah.
That's what you
Hey,
do.
I'm moving up everyone's list right now.
Damn it, that was...
I'm soaring to that number one ranking.
Now, outside of that, I got nothing to offer as far as surviving in the wild.
And plus, you know what I feel like, too, is that I would be rationing my crackers, all right? And I feel like EB would just pummel.
Right? He would. He'd pummel those crackers so fast.
Hey, let me get another one of those crackers.
They'd be gone in the first hour.
I'd be so pissed off.
Yeah. Cakes is the delicate right, eater.
What pros? So Jason's the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
What pros does he offer?
Because we
crushed him pretty bad.
We did.
About his negative energy.
I honestly don't know if he has any. In that situation.
What about some kind of relationships? Like you'd be the first one out. Because he knows a guy that knows a guy.
But the cell phones don't work. What is he getting? You know, someone recognizes him, the king of Fredericksburg. Hey, is that Lurch Papa coming to my trucker cab over here?
Here, take these free waters.
Yeah. No, I don't. There's not a lot of positives from Jason in that situation that I know of. Now someone might help us out and tweet something to us that
well, we're remember missing something. Jason didn't know how to change his tire. Remember that.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously he doesn't have their survival skills.
If you guys are on Twitter, let us know your list or what we're missing out about the guys that would be useful in this situation. I think it's an interesting hypothetical.
We're probably missing out on a lot of different reasons for the guys that you would. That would be pros or cons.
Number one, from the listeners on my list or other people, tertiary characters would be Cowboy Todd.
Oh, Cowboy is definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
Top of the list, right?
Yes, he's funny.
Funny.
Knows
lives,
crap.
Basically lives outside.
I know.
Country boy.
I just imagine him, you're shivering in the car and then going, oh, I'm so hungry. And then he comes back with a squirrel.
Yeah.
he's got like a squirrel meat for you.
The only person more useless than Cakes would be AY.
I was thinking about AY.
How worthless would he be?
Well, number one, all he does is would talk about sports.
The only thing good for AY was, is he dies first, you can eat him.
And you know how scrumptious those fatty legs would be.
Those love handles would be.
Hey, those would be the juiciest rib you've ever had, rack of ribs you've had in your life.
That's so mean. That's what he gets for not being here.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't know anything, though. Like, as far as survival instincts and all that.
So,
he's out for
you know
sure.
You know how cold his ankles would be from wearing his joggers?
It would be so brittle.
He'd wear that same dumb blue coat he's had for 4 years.
Right. Hey, why was... why were you and JP Finley going back and forth about following each other on Twitter? This was off the air. I noticed this a little bit. I mean, I'm intrigued by this.
All right. JP confronted me after the show in the hallway. And well, actually, he wanted to talk to me, and I told him, I'll be right back. I got to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
All right. So I came back after the show and after the segment with the Junks. I go, hey, JP, what did you want to say to me? What did you want to ask? And then he goes, oh, and he came up right to my face and he goes, I did a Twitter audit last night.
A Twitter audit?
Yeah. I go, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know there was a IRS for the Twitter.
Okay.
And he goes, I've noticed I've been following you for years. I go, oh, nice. And he goes, and you've never followed me once. And so he was upset that he's been following me for a long time and I've never given him the time of day on Twitter.
Oh, that's a big faux pas.
I didn't know that was a faux pas.
It's JP Finley. It's not like some random person in sales.
I know, but I don't keep track of who I follow and who I don't follow. And by the way, JP Finley, all of his tweets come on my timeline all the time.
Why? Because everyone's favoriting them?
Yeah, everyone favorites them or replies to them. Or the fact that I follow Pete Haley and he always likes his tweets.
Oh, maybe, so you follow Pete Haley.
I follow Pete Haley, but I don't follow JP
Finley. I think you should follow foremost expert on the Washington football team.
Well, it was
an
oversight. And it was kind of awkward, and I was just standing there, and I did end up following him, but I didn't want to apologize because I shouldn't be sorry for that. I don't know who I follow, who I don't follow, stuff like that.
I actually stand by a Twitter audit. I like that, and I kind of do the same thing, but it's not so much of making sure that people follow me that I follow. Uh-huh. I don't like to follow too many people. I like to keep mine around 500 to 550.
Well, I want to be able to see what everyone says.
These people who do like team follow back or something, they follow like thousands of people. It's a bad look. I like to have a big difference in the amount of people that I follow
followers. You want a ratio.
Yeah.
And then also, it doesn't help that I was trying to break the ice, and I said, well, when I want my Redskins news, I just look at John Kimes' tweets. I'm trying to break the ice a little bit.
What about the other producers? Do you follow the other producers here?
Let's see.
There's no chance that... Like, you follow Mullins and Linnell and Cody.
All right. Mullins. I don't know his thing. Jim Mullins. I don't follow Jim Mullins.
Okay. What about Darius, afternoon show producer?
What's his Twitter?
I don't know. Just type in Darius.
I do not follow Darius.
All right, you're over two. I'm
Cody,
guessing.
What about
I'm
Cody?
Guessing you follow Cody.
Cody Shook. I do not follow Cody.
You're actually a horrible team player.
I'm a great team
player.
No,
you don't. I've actually noticed this about you. You don't do a lot of shtick with the other producers.
I do shtick.
No,
I'm the king shtick man.
Brock Lesnar. Do you follow him?
What's this, Brock?
Probably Brock Lesnar.
I follow Brock.
Okay.
You know what? You need to have a history of working here before I follow you. Mullins has been here.
Yeah, Mullins has been at this radio station since 2008.
Yes.
Okay. Brock's been here for like 4 years.
All right. Here's the thing, is that I don't care about social media as much as you or other people do. It's not on my... It's not,
first of all, that's not true. You're on Twitter all the time.
Well, I use it to gather information.
What are you saying? You'd be Jason if you didn't have the show? You would...
I would. I swear I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be posting about whatever or interacting or even checking.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a ghost.
Kind of like I am on TikTok.
Exactly.
I love TikTok.
Yeah. People don't realize that Drab is a sea hare away from doing his own dance on TikTok.
No, I'll never post on TikTok. I have no interest in ever posting.
Drab's going to have his twins doing the Dougie or whatever they do on TikTok and trying to get viral tweets.
No. If my twins want their own TikTok or whatever's popular, then I'll support it. But I think TikTok is the best social network out there. I think it's but entertaining. I like the quick videos, and it's not dancing. That's what rubes and people out of the scene think all it is. It's
dancing or shaming other people.
No. I follow financial people on there. I follow tons of recipes. I'm a rube. I can't look at a recipe on a book and figure it out. Last night I made a TikTok recipe that was unbelievable. It's called lazy enchiladas. All right. It went viral on TikTok. All right. And all you do is you take taquitos, frozen taquitos, and you bake them with a bunch of enchilada sauce.
That's the most drab thing ever is Mexican food and lazy in the same sentence.
Hey.
And that piqued your interest.
It was scrumptious. I'm telling you. I love TikTok.
I'm sure I'm going to get my financial advice from a 10-second meme.
No, it's like sometimes it's not. It's just like that's just some of the things that I follow.
Well,
it's
not people going diamond hands, ape gang,
woo. I follow a golf cart babe that I'm physically attracted to. I like her. That more goes into the dancing, like model
booty character. Shaking. Yeah.
There's a cocktail guy. There's a cocktail guy that I'm obsessed with that shows you how to make. I don't even drink. That shows you. I just think it's a cool Instagram. Shows you how to make drinks for any
kind. If you're hosting a party.
Hosting parties, seasonal drinks, all kinds of stuff. I don't know. TikTok's a lot of fun. I don't follow any dancing people.
Don't you follow some guy that eats like brains and or whatever, red meat?
Oh, the Liver King? Don't you follow him? I know of the Liver King. I don't think I follow him, but I do watch a lot of his videos.
Don't you follow some guy that plays GoldenEye?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he lives in a cabin, in like a weird cabin that has like dead bodies underneath. And,
yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
He plays GoldenEye and makes tea.
You're right. You know, but that's a food guy.
That's not a food guy.
Okay, that's old time hockey on and hockey spelled HAWKEY on TikTok, and it's him and his dog Donnybrook. And he lives in a cabin in like Canada or Northern Michigan or something like that. Very remote, lives all by himself, and he's got the sweetest, kindest voice, and he shows you how to make video or recipes that are easy to follow. You know what? That's actually he's one of the guys I can't believe I forgot about him. Why I love TikTok. Old time hockey on TikTok is an amazing follow. Just makes you feel good. And then he'll show you how to make a fluffernutter. And then at the end, he always plays like an N64 game or watches a movie from the 80s. On his bubble, on his 13, he has a 13-inch bubble TV.
That sounds like a great life.
Well, I don't know if it's a great life, but it's a great TikTok.
Eating peanut butter and fluff and playing Super Mario.
He's got almost 5 million followers on TikTok. Here he is. He's playing Blades of Steel.
Now, are you on TikTok to follow JP's daughter?
No, I do not follow the Hungry Foodie. But I'll say this. I'll check in on her like every couple weeks to see what she's new. She's actually very entertaining. The Hungry Foodie. She does crumble cookie reviews, cash or trash. She does, I think. She'll do.
You know all her bits.
I do know her
that
bits.
Is actually
she
creepy.
She brings Dylan on all the time because Dylan only eats like chicken tenders and macaroni and stuff like that. So she'll like try to force him to eat things that he hates. She does. I don't follow her mostly because.
Are you addicted to social media?
I think so. I think I am.
I think you are.
I Twitter.
The way you talk about it, you have this twinkle in your eye. You're smirking as you talk about it.
I want you to get on TikTok.
I was on TikTok for 5 seconds.
I think everybody's on TikTok with a shadow account.
I'm just not following anybody.
You're missing out.
I'm on Instagram to look at golf swings. All right.
Yeah, believe me, there's tons of same thing.
I know it's the reels, all the golf swings on there. And I use Twitter for information. Other than that, ghost.
I'm tired of information. I want to be entertained. Entertain me, please. Play N64 and cook bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. But
you know, if I interact with you on Twitter or on any social media, you should be happy because that's a rarity.
I'm the only one you talk to on there?
Yeah, and Grant. I talked to Grant last night.
About what? Sports?
Yes, I was enlightening him on sports betting.
Yeah. I don't follow any sports betting people outside of one guy, like one or two guys on Twitter. No, we don't say it. Yeah, that's our.
We don't say his name. We do not speak his name.
We don't speak his name. We don't want too many people taking credit for him.
Yes, finding that honey.
I am doing. I'll give you guys an update with a guy who gave me $10,000. I'm currently at 11,300.
Congratulations!
So I'm slowly but surely bumping up his account.
Yes, that's a lot of diapers you can buy.
And I got 1 year, and that year ends in June. And I'm hoping that we have a good run here in early 2022. Now, if you don't know, I have to give him all the money back, but we split any profits. So he basically just let me bet with his money for an entire year.
Right.
So I'm hoping to get it up to a few thousand dollars.
I actually think you should shut it down because that's quite an accomplishment to say you're up by that much.
But why wouldn't I just take any of the win? Like, say I got $3,000. Why wouldn't I just put a $3,000 bet on something? I don't want to lose the guy money, right?
Right.
So the you're final day.
You just say, go for it.
Go for it.
Take all the red meat.
All the red meat. And make one final bet. I can tell you
thought about it.
I have. Yeah, yeah. I've also thought about putting $11,000 on a bet, too. But I haven't done that yet either. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Bit Season Episode 17. That was a fun one. No AWOD this week. We didn't say this at the beginning. He is doing a show in Richmond. He's filling in over down there, so congratulations to him. So he couldn't join us in person today, but a good show with Valdez, and next week we will be back and have a full week. No, Valdez will be out next week.
That is correct.
I don't know if I will do a show with AWOD.
I
know you did, and that was a mistake. All right,
I shouldn't have set that precedent.
You should. I broke through that precedent last week by not showing up. We'll see.
I don't know, maybe I'll Skype in.
I would like that, but you'll probably be on the golf course.
Most likely.
All right, guys. We'll have an update for you. Thanks for listening to Bit Season. After next week, if there is no show, we'll be no more missed weeks for a long time. I can guarantee you that.
Definitely.
All right, guys. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.